Christians live day by day. Some live week by week. We have to learn to live for eternity.
Amen.
I can't just think about what I need today. I can't just think about, I mean, a lot of people do this with their money. They only think about what they have need of today. When you should be thinking about tomorrow and next week and next year. Y'all come on now. Everything in the natural parallels with everything in the spirit. The Bible talks about, the Bible talks about referring to the church as a husband and wife relationship, how Christ is the head of the church, and the church is like the wife, and Christ is like the husband, right? We see how servants are supposed to react with their bosses or their leadership that is over them. The Bible talks about money. We read the parable of the talents, you know, and everything, how that they put it in there, they made more with it. Well, in order for this church, when Miss Scotty's gone, in order for this church to remain here, somebody's got to step up and become leaders. You see a lot of ministers that are doing that now that are older with their sons and their daughters. And listen, it can't just be somebody that we pick either. See, I had somebody, the other day, or it's been a couple of weeks ago now, and they was trying to tell me how that we could grow this church. And I'm standing there with a straight face, but I'm laughing on the inside. Because all you're doing is telling me what a baby you are. Why do I say that? You think you know more how to grow the church than the pastor does?
Right.
That has been the pastor for 20 years now, that fasts and pray and tries his best to obey the Lord. See, even he don't get to do everything he wants to here. Leaders, most of the time, leaders don't get to do much of what they want to do. That's one of the reasons why they're the leaders. You know, somebody that wants to deal with stuff all the time and deal with people and put them in their place and all, that's not a leader. Most of the time, leaders don't want to deal with people. Most of the time, leaders don't want to bring correction. But they have to. Just like if you've ever been a parent, I'm sure there's probably been times that you didn't want to punish your children. I mean, there's been a few times, not many, but there's been a few times that I didn't want to have to discipline Travis. But if you're going to be a good leader, you have to. But if you're ever going to be a leader, then you must learn how to submit to authority. You have to. I remember back, we hadn't been saved too long. Now, the church we went to, I mean, the presence of God was just there most of the time greatly. And I mean, altars would just fill up. And where there wasn't no more room at the altars, people would be knelt down at the chairs of their pews and all of that, just praying, just crying out to God and everything. And one particular time this was happening, is we sat on the front pew, and Scotty knelt down at the pew. And he was telling the Lord, God, use me. You know, out of his heart, God, use me. He don't know how he wants to be used. He just wants God to use him, you know. And God spoke to him, and he told him, he said, you must first learn how to submit to authority before you will ever be in authority. Why? God don't raise up rebellion. God doesn't promote that stuff. I mean, it's the very reason why Satan got kicked out of heaven. He hates it, according to Proverbs. Well, a lot of people, they'll say amen to that and will agree with that. Until you say no. Y'all not saying nothing. Sandy wanted white carpet one time in her room. What was the grade level you was doing at that time? Was it the class like April does? It was a younger class. But I mean, this is so many years ago. Yeah, she don't even remember it now. She wanted white carpet in her room. She had done some redoing or whatever. She wanted white carpet in her room. And Scotty said no. And she says, what if I pay for it myself? Scotty said, no. So now she don't even remember it. But the point of that is, he told her no. Now she's still here, and I think he's told her no quite often, you know, and then he's told her yes quite often, you know, but she's still here. So that tells me something about Sandy. Y'all not saying nothing. See, I don't know about y'all, but I'm what I call old school. What I mean by that is Bible. See, I could have ordained, you can go on the internet and ordain yourself. You can go on the internet, pay a little bit of money, fill out some paperwork, and you can be absolutely licensed and ordained. But when you come to me with that, you ain't nothing. Because I'm looking for who vouches for you. Now, I'm not saying this is getting real quiet. Who can testify to your life? I want to know who it is that you submitted yourself to more than 3 months, and they can testify to your validity of your fruit and who you say you are. You don't find that a lot today, people, I'm telling you. And what I'm talking about this morning, most people won't even tolerate hearing it. I hear God for myself, me and Jesus, that's all I need. I submit to God, but I don't submit to no man. Well, then, honey, you don't submit to God. That's Bible. He says, however, y'all remember the story whenever Miriam and Aaron just started talking? They didn't go beat him down or not, just talking against Moses? What'd God say? He said, I heard the things you said about me. What? Cindy, they was talking about Moses. They never mentioned God in that chapter there of talking about the things God was doing or wasn't giving them and all. They was putting it all on Moses. But you know what? Moses was God's pick. Was Moses a perfect man? Absolutely not. But you know what the Bible says about Moses? It says he was the most humble man of his time in all the earth. I mean, what a compliment. You got God vouching for you now. You got God testifying of what and who you are. And see, if God is ever going, and I know that he is, boy, he's got his work cut out for him, but he's able to do it. But he has to have us working with him. Just like here at this church. And there'll be some of y'all that if you stay here long enough and you obey the Lord, that he'll do you just like he did us. He'll raise you up because of the plan of God that he's got for your life, and he'll send you out of here in some kind of ministry. It may not be a pastorship. It may be an evangelist. I mean, I don't know. There's all different kinds of things that God could do. There's some, just like us, at the time that we was at Faith Restoration years on down the road, Scotty was an evangelist, but that was still our home church. We were still required to be in those services. You don't get that much in it today. No one right now. Scotty's tried to get him to come and sit down, not because he wants to rule over him. Do you understand? I'm not scared of y'all. I want y'all to grow and develop and do way greater than I ever have and I ever will.
Right.
But I can't just make that happen in your life.
Right.
Scotty's trying to get him to come and sit down. And this is his thing. He says, I'm not no pew warmer. Well then, honey, if you ain't ever going to be a pew warmer, you ain't ever going to go to the nations that you say you're called to.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
There
is a structure of authority and ways that God does things. And when you go around it, I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm not even saying you don't love God. But he says those that love him are the ones that keep his commandments. That's everything he tells us to do. It's not just the ones that's written down. It's whenever you get an extra $100 at the bank, honey, you take it back. Why? It wasn't your $100. And don't go around with this, the Lord bless me. Woo! No, he didn't. The devil just robbed you and you let him. Because, see, when you don't take that money back, then that's got something to do with your character. And that's going to affect what you're called to do. God ain't going to raise up no bunch of thieves. Absolutely not. Not to go forth and be established and anointed and appointed in his kingdom. It's not going to happen. So every one of us has things on the inside of us that must come out. And there's things that God wants to go in us to build in each one of us to where he can take us to where he wants us to be. But that'll depend on every one of us as an individual and then as we come as a corporate body. I hope you're praying for every service before you get here. I hope I'm praying for it. I don't pray whenever I get here. You know why? I done prayed. I'm done with that. When I get up here, unless I feel an unction at that time, I've done prayed all that I felt that I needed to pray. Now it's time to get started. So in order for this church to carry on, When me and Scotty's gone, God's got to raise up leadership in here. Just like he has done with some of us already, you know, just like, you know, Dar, she's over the clothes thing down there. You know, she's one of them that she has to be a little pushed to. You know, I told you I'm one that always had to be pushed, and Scotty's one, you better put the rings on, because he's always ready. So therefore, that always ready got him out of timing at different times a little bit. He was reading the Bible, and over there, and I believe it's in Timothy, to where the Apostle Paul told him to do the work of an evangelist. He read that, and that was just like God's word to him. It come alive on the inside of him. Now, he had already had the testimony of Brother, what was his name? I said, no, not that one. Brother Smart. That God had done confirmed. He had it in his heart, and God had done confirmed. That morning, remember the story that we're on the way to church, and God told him, I mean, he felt it as he told me, he said, if I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. Now, his idea of a preacher is behind the pulpit. That's not God's, that was not God's plan at that time. So then later, he's reading the Bible, and that where it told him, he told him to go do the work of an evangelist, that stood out, that came alive to him. That became rhema to him. So therefore, boy, here he goes evangelizing. He evangelizes everywhere he goes, and then he gets called to different churches, you know, and other people, they would tell him, you know, well, you need to make you up some cards is what you need to do. No, you don't need no cards! If God tells you to make up cards, that's fine. But who are you depending on opening the door? You're telling me God can't make connections for an evangelist with churches or street ministry or jail ministry or whatever the case may be? Then your God's way too little. I told him to make up some cards. He never made up no cards. He didn't feel to make up cards. I'm trying to see where I'm supposed to go in case y'all wondering. So I don't know everything either. I know that's hard to figure out, but I don't. None of us do. We're all supposed to be followers, right, of him. Don't get ahead of him. But anyway, there was times when he would go and he would evangelize and all that. Then he gets this bright idea he needs to become full-time ministry. Right up here again. You know what his idea of full-time ministry was? You don't work a secular job or a public job. You hang around the house, pray and seek the Lord, and whoo, the mailbox fills up with checks, and you're just running all over creation where God's telling you. Know what happened? Not one check came in the mailbox. Not one invitation to come and preach nowhere, and we about starved. And God never moved. I told him, I said, you're going to have to go back to work. He says, but I'm a full-time evangelist. I said, I don't care. You're going to have to go back to work. So he had to go back, ask for his job back, apologize. How many knows that stuff's painful?
Yep.
But it's good for you. You know, they say in the gym, no pain, no gain. It's true in everything. There'll be things that comes in our lives that may be very, very painful. How many knows flesh dying is painful? The cross is a place of death to the flesh. And Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. But now the end result will bring you to victory and glory and honor. But the Bible says, let another man's lips praise you and not your own. See, we got a lot of ministers out here running around tooting their own horn, praising their own selves. And he said, don't do that. He said, don't think more highly of yourself than what you ought to. But at the same time, don't think more lowly of yourself than what you ought to. Think in line of yourself with what the scripture says, that you are the way we're supposed to be, right? Oh, well, anyway, he goes, apologizes, all that stuff. He goes back to work. Phone starts ringing. I'm reminded right now of this one place that, and he went there and ministered a couple of times. But one time, I didn't go with him much because I ain't grown to that level yet. I can't be out in population much. I got to stay in the isolation. I can't be in the GP much. But anyway, so I wouldn't go with him a lot. But anyway, this one particular time I went with him. It was a Sunday morning service he was doing, and Mom and my stepdad went with us. Well, the lady that was the pastor of the church, she got up there. Now, she had a building program going on. She's going to build a new church at this time. And she's taking up an offering for Scotty, and she said, "Y'all come on, let's really bless Brother Scotty." This is funny now. "Let's really bless Brother Scotty and all this stuff." Well, Scotty always puts in his own offerings. He says he's going to sow to himself. So anyway, he puts in $10. Well, my mom and stepdad, they put in $20. So I know $30 was put in that offering. Well, lo and behold, they take it up at the end of the service. She brings him an envelope. We get home and he opens it up. You know how much money's in the envelope? $10. Woo! Good for him. Painful, irritating. He started to get on the phone and call her. I mean, he's going to tell her what for. And it wasn't about the money. If he never got a dime, it wasn't about the money.
Right.
But the problem that he had with it is, don't get up there and be a liar.
Right.
And tell God's people this offering is going to Brother Scotty, but you're going to give Scotty $10 and put the rest in your building fund. Don't use him like that. Don't be a liar.
Right.
You know what God said? Don't call him. God wouldn't let him call him. I don't know why he wouldn't let him call him. But he never got to call her. Never got to confront her about that or anything. Why am I telling you this? There was some people that I used to come here and he said he was an evangelist or whatever. And they go to different places in ministry, you know, and some of his family ministers and all that. And they would go to different places and all that. And they wouldn't get very big offerings and all that. And he would start talking about God's people, how they're stiff-necked, how they're stingy, how they won't give. You got a problem. What that person gives is between the Lord and that person. If you got a need, you never put pressure on people to meet that need, ever. Especially if you are a minister. When I say minister, I'm talking about fivefold ministry or something like that. You know, you're an evangelist or whatever. That's one of the reasons why we're going through such hardship at that one time, where we're down to a can of cream of mushroom soup, a half a jar of peanut butter, and God won't let us say nothing to this church about the need that we have. See, a leader must deal with their own mess. And all y'all.
Yeah.
And everybody out there, that phone rings day and night. Can you help us pay our light bill? Can you help us with food? Can you buy my grandma's, I started to say plastic teeth, false teeth? And every one of them gets upset when you don't. So you have to learn how to deal with all that. So listen, if you can't even fight the bed sheets to get to service twice a week, that's all we require here. We have three services. We count Sunday school because we have the little break is a different one. Why? Because you must be getting fed. You must be in here with this body, growing and developing with this body if you think you're going to work in this body. We've had people come in the door, and one guy's coming up through there, and he's carrying like a luggage bag. Full of his tapes. His singing tapes. You remember singing? I won't call his name because that's who it is. It's not my point. You don't ever want to uncover people. And I don't know why God's having me tell y'all all this, other than it must be because we're fixing to go to new levels, I mean. See, if you can't fight the devils on the level you're on, God is so good, he won't promote you to the next one. They would destroy you. But if you can learn to fight the devils at the level that you're on, God will promote you and there'll be a new devil at that level. Why? Because they hold territory in the spirit that they don't want you to have. They hold stuff back from you that they don't want you to ever get. Why? Because you would destroy their kingdom with it. And listen to me. Demons don't break rank. Ever. Y'all read over there, right? We read it over there in Ephesians 6 before about how there's principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly or high places, right? They don't rank. Why? Because he knows that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, they are deceived into thinking they're going to win, or they wouldn't keep trying. But that's why I say deceived. Well, we have too many of God's people that they're Christians, but we need to go way further than that they break ranks in place all the time. that guy come in here toting his luggage bag of tapes, because he sings. It's not karaoke, but anyway, he has the music and he does the singing, whatever you call that. Y'all get my point of that, right? Comes in here, drags it up here, and sets it down right there on the front row. Never been in service here before. Now, Scotty knows the guy and knows his reputation, and that's one of them. That's his thing. That's what he does. He ain't submitted to nobody nowhere. And sad to say, there is leadership that lets him get away with that bull. Y'all not saying nothing now. Anyway, Scotty comes up here, shakes hand, all that, talking to him and everything. And he tells him he's going to sing. And Scotty says, no, you ain't. That's hard. You don't ever want to have to do that. Number one, if somebody's coming, because Scotty is the head, he'll know. Why? God will tell him. Just like he did Johnny and Scotty with the, what do you call him? The communion stuff. Scotty gets up that morning and tells me, he said, listen, the Lord said we're supposed to have communion this morning. Well, I'm back there breaking up crackers because we didn't have any little wafer things. And Scotty went back there out of the food thing and got some juice or whatever. Well, he didn't tell him Johnny's going to bring it. And Johnny didn't tell him he's going to bring it. When I'm back there breaking up crackers, and here comes Johnny, and he puts something on the table back there. Well, I mean, most people, you know, Shannon, Cassandra, different people, they'll put stuff to give away to y'all on the table. I just figured that's what it was. Well, after all that, I seen it was waggers. It was wafers and juice. The whole little things for communion. Now, Scotty heard and Johnny heard. So guess what? Scotty and Johnny, other people in here could have thought we wasn't supposed to be having communion. But Scotty and Johnny knew it. They got it from God. Well, anyway, he tells him, no, you're not going to sing here this morning. He says, yes, I am. Are you kidding me? You never tell leadership, yes, I am. The devil tried that.
Right.
And he got going fast as lightning, the Bible says.
Right.
See, whatever you do to those that are over you, and it doesn't just have to be me and Scotty. Just like back there in the nursery. Them kids is not going to talk to my nursery workers any way they want to. That is a privilege for you to be back there in that nursery and not sit out here. Especially if I'm your mama. You ain't moving. Them grandkids of mine gets on my nerves. I tell them, get over here and sit down. Shut up. Y'all probably hear me. Shh, 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 shut up. All the time. Well, you're not going to be back there in that nursery and run my nursery workers ragged. I done told them, you don't spank them back here. But if you got a problem and they won't listen to you, send them out. And if their mom and daddy don't like that, then I'll take care of it. I will see them about it. Just like in those classes back there. You got rebellious teenagers, Sandy's having a problem with or whatever, or says they're going to do something, and then later they're not going to do it. She goes to Scotty, and Scotty does what? Scotty handles it. What do? What they said they would. See, I don't know why, for some reason, a lot of Christians, they get born again and get over into the kingdom and learn a few scriptures, and now you think you're grown. You don't know nothing yet.
Right.
What kind of test have you been through? How have you been tempered?
Right.
And listen, it's not about being perfect. If that was the case, there would none of us be doing nothing.
Right.
It's all by grace, access through faith.
Amen.
Even your salvation. It's the same way that I'm operating this morning. Anytime I get up here not in faith, it won't be good, and everybody will know it. And if it is good, everybody knows it wasn't me. That's my voice, but he's helping me. So what does that mean? Some of y'all will grow up, and you'll go out of here. And that even still don't mean you grown. When I come down here, I'm telling you, as a Christian, I have lived a sheltered life. I got down here, we didn't have no mess at my church all the time. And Brother Brad is not a hard man. He's actually one of the meekest men that I know. Don't like to deal with stuff, but he said one time in one of his sermons, he said, I don't like to deal with things. He said, but well, I'm not going to keep getting a whooping for what y'all doing.
Right.
So right. You have to sometimes deal with things. And some of y'all are going to go out from here, but then there's going to be some of y'all will be here forever.
Right.
You may be leaders in here. You may be in the ministry of helps. Why? The church can't function with just the pastor or the pastor's wife doing all the work. It's not supposed to function that way. Right. So you always have to have some, excuse me, that stays in that part of the body. And there may be some that later on God may move you to another church. I don't know the plans that God has for you or anything like that. But I know how you will grow to develop to those plans. I mean, it's sad today that we've got people been saved 40 and 50 years, and the man Scotty has to call them, where y'all at? Y'all okay? Are you serious? Good grief, get the pacifier out of your mouth. We need to shave your beard and pluck back your mustache to get the bottle in. That is such baby stage. What does the Bible say? The Bible says if you're sick, do what? Monty the only one know that verse in here? I hope not. Or just the only one that said it. See, it's not leadership's job to be running after people all the time. Now, babies, that's okay. They don't know. They pitch fits. They cry. They it's hard for them to, take a little bit of a persecution or a little hardship for a couple hours. I understand that, men. They've done that. But we can't stay there forever. We cannot stay there forever. Do you understand? This community depends on us not staying there forever. There's people, individual people out there that depend on us. They don't know they depend on us. Just like we didn't know Sandy growing and developing. Sandy has been a part of my life all of my life. I don't know why she's the hookup. There's connections that, yes, sure, she's my aunt. But I have other aunts and uncles too. But for some reason, she has been a hookup all my life. Before she got saved, I used to go home with her every summer. Well, then after I got saved, do you understand, Sandy, if nobody else, Sandy was praying and believing God for us? We about wore her out. But she kept on. God used Sandy to get Travis here. I'm not saved. She comes to my house with the word of the Lord and telling me, rebuke the devil. God said, rebuke the devil off of your body, and within 3 months, you'll be pregnant. So I'm out there on my riding lawnmower. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I said, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's what she said to do. For some reason, I just always did whatever she said to do, most of the time, when I wanted to. But anyway, well, guess what? The very night that I met Scotty, Sandy was involved. And I was a little upset at you that time because of doors. See, I went skating every Friday night. I'm barely 13 years old at the time. Mama would take us up, drop us off at the skating rink, come back, pick us up every Friday night. So when Friday gets here, I'm ready. Y'all know party on the weekend, right? Well, I'm 13. We got to party at the skating rink. Mama says, no, you can't go tonight. Well, how come we can't go tonight? Because Sandy is in the midst of some problems or whatever, and she's coming to stay with us for a little while or the weekend or something. I don't remember exactly all of that. So I'm mad because now I can't go because Sandy and her crew's there. Well, I didn't know it at the time and don't even know how anybody knows it. Maybe Mama found out or something. They had skating on Tuesday night, and it's cheaper. Tuesday night's dollar night. So Mom told us because we couldn't go Friday night that we could go Tuesday night. Guess who takes us to the skating rink that Tuesday night? Not Doris. Sandy. Guess who shows up at the skating rink on Tuesday night because they don't go on Friday night because Tuesday night's dollar night? Scotty's brother. I knew him. I went to school with him. He's just a little bit older than me. Anyway, it was one time we was in the same grade because he failed. But anyway, so I know him, and I had talked to him or whatever. And lo and behold, for some reason or another, he goes and calls Scotty and tells him to come down to the skating rink that his car's messed up. His car's not messed up. So Scotty gets up, and he comes down there. Well, then I say, Scotty. I'd never seen Scotty before. Well, then his sister's standing over there. One of his youngest sister is standing over there with him. Well, I don't know if that's his girlfriend or who she is or anything. And there's another guy. I'm telling y'all this story for a reason. There's another guy there. His name was Lester. I went to school with him too. And so I told Lester, I said, you see that guy over there? And I pointed to Scotty. I said, you see that guy over there? Listen, when I want something, I just do it. So I don't mess around with this. Well, the girl shouldn't say nothing. Sometimes if you don't get nothing. But anyway, I said, you said that guy over there? He said, yeah, that's so-and-so. Hey, Neil. He said, that's so-and-so. And I said, will you go over there and ask him if he'll come skate with me? So he goes over there and he asks Scotty, you know, well, Scotty goes and pays and gets in some skates and here we go. That's how it all got started. But God used Sandy in that. Use her to help bring Travis about here. All of our life. Listen, there'll be God connections that come in your life that God never intends for you to disconnect with. Brother Brad is one of them for me. The man's not perfect. I mean, anyway, he's kind of strange if you ever talk to him. I mean, he'd be talking, just all of a sudden he'd just turn around and walk away. I'm like, well, I was talking there. But anyway, you know, I mean, he's not perfect, but he is a God hookup for me. So that is one connection that I will never break. So you don't ever break those connections. God will use those connections all through your life. Well, lo and behold, that's how me and Scotty got started. Well, then Sandy, of course, comes back to pick us up. Now, Sandy's more lenient than ours is. So, Scotty asks Sandy, well, can I follow you and she ride with me, take her home? Sandy says, well, this was in Oneonta. Sandy says, well, we go to Tonka. Y'all can follow us to Tonka. Well, so we followed us to Tonka. Then Scotty said, well, can we just follow you on? Sandy said, well, you can follow us to Nectar, because I lived over at Nectar, but we're not going, because, you know, don't go to Doris's house like that. So we get over to Nectar. And so then I get in the car with Sandy, and Sandy takes us home. Now, we followed right behind. Wasn't nothing going on there. That's just how that story went. Then the man is not that smart. He don't come back and send me for 2 weeks. I had to help him this morning. You know why we married? I said. I didn't ask him either. I didn't say, would you marry me? And when I told him, I said, why don't we just get married? He says, well, I never thought about it. Poor man. He's got my keys this morning to my truck going out the door. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm Norse, what are you doing? My keys. Well, I was just happy, I guess. I'm just getting them like I always do. And he's putting them in the ignition while I'm standing there in the door. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm about to get in. I said, you're not going with me. He said, yeah, I'm riding with you this morning. I said, no, you're not. You're taking the box truck. I have to help that man. That's what the Bible says I am. And he helps me in various ways. Why did I go through that whole long story? Can y'all look back in any of your life and you see a person that is a thread in your life? If you do, don't ever disconnect from that. God put them there. Then there'll be others. They're supposed to help you along the way or however far you go. And then you may never see them again. They may pray for you or whatever, but you may never see them again. Why am I telling you all this morning? I don't know. Other than I really believe in my heart, it has something to do about the next level that we're going to go to, that God wants us to go to. See, all them people that are not here this morning that ain't just half dead or got COVID so you can't be out, I feel for you. It's sad if you've been saved 10, 15, 20, 30 years and you can't even make it to church. Man, how are you ever going to do anything? The number one requirement, now it would be obedience, but you can't have obedience without being faithful. And that is something that God absolutely requires, and it is on the inside of every Christian. I mean, you got people, and I'm not trying to say nothing bad. God's not going to zap us and make us the glorious church. He's going to deal with us. He's going to punish us. He's going to correct us at times that's necessary, right? The Bible calls it chastisement. He chastises those that he loves. Why? For their correction and their good, the Bible says. Does it feel good? No, it never feels good. I guarantee you, ask my grandkids, or ask Travis. I never spanked my grandkids like that. I have spanked both of them. But anyway, you ask Travis, did a spanking that I gave him ever feel good? He'll tell you no, I can't breathe. And God does it for our good, for our benefit. Well, God's trying to help us to grow up, to become that glorious church while we're running out of time, people. I know we've heard that for years and years and years. Maybe your great, 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 great 15 great grandpa back there said it. It's just around the corner. So did the Apostle Paul, though. But there is going to come a time that God has already set that is going to be the end.
Amen.
That's the end of it. There's no more as far as this life is concerned that we're living now. So he has to get us ready. And I feel like in my heart, that's what he's trying to do. That he, and now the thing is just here. I believe God's calling his people to a higher place in the spirit, a higher place. Listen, what gives you your rank is your, a place is what gives you your rank. Scotty's place as the pastor here is what gives him his rank and his authority. And how many knows? You don't break rank and authority. You don't start out in the in a natural army or navy or something like that and become a five-star general.
Right.
You've been put on that field and you have endured some stuff.
Yep.
Number one, basic training. Then you're going to have times you go in combat and all that other stuff. And there's times that you don't leave no man behind and bullets are flying for you to get out there and get them. But you do it. They don't just make you a five-star general that day. Do you understand? This is the same way in the kingdom of God. It happens the same way. But sad to say that God's got people out there running around being fivefold ministers that they're never called to be fivefold ministers. They got mad at their pastor. Y'all not saying nothing. I know some that they used to go here. And they thought they knew more than what we did. And maybe they did. I don't know. Do you understand Scotty's place gives him authority over me? It's not because he's smarter. And I'm not saying he's dumb. But it's the God-given chosen place that gave him his authority over me. Well, then you get them in the church, you know, and they think they know more. Somebody telling me the other day, you know, well, if you have men's meetings, then, you know, that church would grow. If you would do this, you know, that church would grow. And, you know, I think too many stories, and I think this, and I think all you're doing is telling me what a baby you are. Because if you was more than a baby, you would know ain't none of us that's in leadership dictates how things go around here. We do our best to hear and follow.
Right.
Well, they thought they know more than we did, so they leave here twice. Not the right way. And the last time, if you persist, you'll see a side of your pastor you've never seen before. And he told him. It was not good. He even told Brother Brad about it, and he told Brother Brad exactly what he said. And Brother Brad said, you said that? He said, yes, I did. So, they leave. They go out of here. They start their own church. Woo! Hallelujah! Did it last 3 years? I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years, something like that. That was all. And when they left, tried to start a church split. Now, they didn't go to none of my family. I guess maybe a little scared too. But they went to individual members that I found out later that they had went to. I didn't even know anything about that. And then some did go with them. How many knows that's not right?
Amen.
God tell you to start a church, bless God, just get on with it. He'll send the people.
What?
When we started this church, we had no idea anybody was coming.
What?
Didn't even know Sandy was going to stay here. I don't know if she knowed it at the time or whatever. And sure enough, here y'all are. And sad to say, there's been some come in here and they wouldn't stay that was supposed to be here. Now, everybody that comes through those doors is not supposed to stay here. Their church is somewhere else. They're just trying to go around and find out where it is that they're supposed to be. Then there's others I know they were supposed to be here and they were supposed to stay here for a while and knew that they would be called out into their own ministry. But they wouldn't stay here long enough to do it. See, we had to be built till we got to this place. We're still being built. When I first come down here, I'm telling you, I would leave church and I would cry on the way home and say, God, please let me go back to faith restoration. Please let me go back to faith restoration. Why? It is a responsibility. But Sister Margie told me one time when we was fixing to come down here, she was Brother Brad's wife at the time, and she told me, she said, you will be surprised at the maturity that responsibility will bring. And it will if you won't run from the responsibility.
Right.
That's just in the natural realm. I mean, there you got people that they can't even get out of bed to get up and go to church. You got people that can't even get out of bed to get up and go to work. How many knows? You ain't never going to have no money like that unless you're stealing. And then you're going to go to jail. You're going to be in trouble. It's the same way over here in the kingdom of God. Just like I mentioned last week, you know, whenever Scotty had a heart attack and we're waiting on him to be sent to Birmingham and everything. I mean, they had done went in there with a dye, going to do the open heart surgery there at Coleman, and he's so bad they can't. They said it would be dangerous to do it there, so we're waiting to be transferred to Birmingham. The first thing I do is get on the phone and call April, because I don't call Monty. Nothing wrong with Monty, but anyway, I call April and ask Monty, can he cover Sunday school? Monty covers Sunday school for me. I've asked others, they can't. Because they've been arguing this way. Are you serious? I can't tell you how many times I have come to this church and been highly anointed up here and broke the coffee table the night before. And I don't lay under the bed crying. I repent. I get rid of that. I get it straightened out. I get here and I do my job. Travis has a motorcycle wreck where I am up all night long. I don't think we get home, at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning that morning. We stayed at the hospital, and then we have to get him in the house and all that because he can't walk. And all that, we go home. Well, Scotty goes to bed. That man been asleep 3 minutes. I don't care what's going on. Hurricane. I can't. So I don't even go to bed. I stay up all night. Well, the next day, guess what, Sandy? It's giveaway day. Teresa's got a route that Teresa does. Now, Travis has given me his prescription and want me to get it filled because he's in pain while I'm down here. I could say, oh, sweet baby, I'll get this filled and I'll be right back. I said, well, I'll get it when I get done with the giveaway. April was with me, so she knows. I come here, I hadn't been to bed all night. And listen, I'm not saying nothing about me. You understand? This is not about me. This is about you, that it's where you're going to have to come to. Number one, you're going to have to be faithful in your heart toward God, and then you're going to have to be faithful to other people that God puts over you if you're ever going to make it to the fullness that God has for you. Right. And I'm still having to keep doing it myself because this ain't my fullness yet.
Right.
But I come here, I work the giveaway, I tote the boxes, then me and April get in the truck, we go out here, I'm waiting on them to open, they open up, I give them his prescription, we go do our route, I come back, I pick up his prescription, and I take it home. You got other people, they didn't get into bed to 12, so we don't see them.
Wow.
I'm not trying to get on to anybody. I'm trying to help. I mean, we work with a bunch of faithful, good people. I'm so thankful to have y'all. But there's some of us that we're going to have to do more. More toward God. Because it's Him that builds in us, but we have to work with Him. The Bible says we're being built up a spiritual house, a dwelling place for God. The only way to get more of God in me is to get more of me out. And that's painful. That's when people are doing you wrong and God won't let you tell nobody about it. If you got to tell everybody, you're still a baby. Now somebody asked you something. I mean, that's different. I mean, that's like Johnny. If you want anything out of Johnny, you're about going to have to cry it out. And I've never had a problem with Johnny. Johnny, thank you for being that way. I told him one time, you know, we're here for you. We love you. You know, if you need anything, he's like, okay, you just turn and walk on.
Yeah.
Ooh, those are the people you just love. I love all of y'all. God loves all of us. But then there's others, bless their heart. You have to help them.
Right.
And it's not easy. And you may have to help them more than a day. But now when I've been helping you for 10 years, I'm about to cut you off the bottle. I mean, there's something wrong with that. You don't even let a kid suck their mama at 10 years old or a bottle. Something's wrong with you if you do. I've got to stop. This did not go no way the way I had planned. I don't even know what I've been bringing this paper for 5 times here on this subject. Y'all got Monty next week. Well, y'all might get something a little different. Let's God don't.